Well, great to be back. My name is Pastor, I'm Pastor Luke Rosenberger. I'm so thankful to be back with you all, and I've seen you the last couple weeks, but just want to really express my gratitude for a time of sabbatical. This is it's such a gift that a church can give a pastor to rest. And like I said in May, there's a hard part about stopping. Like when we practice sabbatical and we practice Sabbath on a regular basis, it's the idea of just stopping. Just stop everything, all the normal things, and rest and to delight in the Lord. And I got to experience a lot of those things this summer, and I'll be telling you more and more about some of those things, but just really grateful for the church that sees value in having a pastor go and stop and rest and delight in the Lord. And it was it brought so much joy to my heart and to my family, having that time to do some traveling, have some time to visit extended family and to have some fun activities. But also there was a couple times where Ellen and I probably actually rested when we when the kids were in different places. So that, you know, having resting and resting with six kids are not the same thing. So there was a couple times that we really fully, I think, rested and really delighted in the Lord. Of course, we delighted in our kids, too. So one of the things this summer that really stood out to me, was the joy that Jesus gives. And sometimes I feel like we, at least personally for me, my joy like tank kind of gets, you know, it's like medium level, and then maybe sometimes a little bit lower and lower. But why is that? Why do sometimes we don't have this joy, this strong sense of like whatever's happening, no matter what our circumstances are in, whatever's going on in our life around us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of Jesus is what gives us hope, what gives us life, what gives us meaning to our day. And so, you know, that's something that really kind of impressed on me this summer is joy. Like, as Christians, we are to be joy-filled. Not just joyful, but joy-filled. And the idea of filled is that we're being filled with joy by the Lord. Not just that we like, have some joy, like muster up our own joy, but the joy that is, we're being filled with joy. And so as we look at what does the Bible say about joy, you can't miss the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is in the New Testament. It's just four chapters. It's written by Paul. Paul was a person that was so against Christianity. He was so against the way of Jesus. In fact, he was persecuting Christians and going to Damascus to kill Christians, to arrest them and put them in jail. But on the way to this place of Damascus, Jesus had an encounter with Paul. At that time, he was named Saul. But Jesus had this encounter with him, and he literally closed his eyes for 3 days. He couldn't see for 3 days. He had this encounter with Jesus, and he found out that he had been persecuting Jesus. He had been persecuting the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so his eyes were opened, not just physically, but spiritually. His eyes were opened. And so the rest of his life, his mission was to tell people about Jesus. It's our mission too, by the way. It's our mission to tell people about Jesus. It's no matter what our story is, no matter when or if we've realized that our sin is leading us away from Jesus, and the only way that we can be saved, the only way we can be with Jesus is by the cross of Jesus. We're recognizing that our sin separates us from the love of God. And the only way we can be right with God is through the mercy that Jesus gave to us by dying on the cross, and we accepting his life, accepting his payment, so we can be with him. And then he gives us joy, and eternal joy, not just a joy just in our circumstances right around us, but it's joy is so different than happy. You know, we like to get happy. You know, if we have a good day, a lot of times we're feeling very happy. But we can have a lot of really bad things happen to us in a day or in a week or in a month or in a year and have a strong joy. And that's what That's what we're talking about, this joy. And Paul, he wrote a letter to the Philippian church. Now, the Philippian church, they were a church that he helped start. You can read more about that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, if you want to read the backstory about how Lydia became a Christian or became a follower of Jesus and was the first Christian there. And then last week, we actually heard from the Gospel Echoes, John was sharing about how Paul and Silas were in jail and they were just singing and praising all night. And then there was an earthquake, and what happened? They ran out, right? They were released, they could go. No, they didn't. They stayed. And they stayed because the Holy Spirit was leading. Like, they're just so in tune with what the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, or what he's telling them. And so they stayed, and because they stayed, the jailer that was in charge of the jail, he would have killed himself because of the penalty of losing prisoners, even at a good excuse of an earthquake. But his life was spared. Paul and Silas said, "We're still here. We're all here." And the jailer came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He'd been hearing all night these guys singing and proclaiming Jesus, even though they were in jail. And so he's like, "How can I be saved?" And he and his family become saved. And he and his family are some of the first ones in this church that's in this place called Philippi. And I should say Philippi is in modern-day Greece. So it was like the first European place where the gospel came. And so Paul is, a few years later, maybe 5 to 10 years later, Paul is writing a letter to these people about joy. He's writing about joy. And he's writing, and so I just want to encourage you to open your Bibles. It'll be on the screen too, but Philippians 1, starting in chapter, Philippians 1, and then starting with verse 1. We're going to read right at the beginning of this letter. This letter that is joy-filled, this letter that is from Paul, this letter that we just see the joy in him. And so let's read this together, or I'll read this. It says this, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the opening of a letter, the very, very similar opening to a lot of letters that Paul sent to other churches. But he's letting them know who's sending it, Paul, and he's with Timothy. And they are servants of Jesus. They are servants. That is all of us. We are to serve Jesus. Jesus is our master. If you trust Jesus with your life, then Jesus is the master and we are the servants. And he says, he talks about how together we are people of God. We are holy people. He talks about this, where he mentions grace and peace. And grace, there's a lot to unpack with the word grace, but essentially it's this riches of God that we don't deserve. This riches of God, this salvation of God that Jesus brought to us. And we receive this gift even though we didn't deserve it. And that is grace. And so he's saying grace to you and peace to you from God the Father. This is not just a worldly peace. This is a peace that is from God. This is a perfect peace. And so he says this in verse 3. He says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." How often do you thank God when you remember someone? Now, to remember someone, you must have some, usually either really good experiences with this person to remember them after years, or a really bad experience, right? And so when we remember someone from years before, there's this, you know, you can be like, thinking, is this a good remembrance or a bad? But Paul is here. He's saying, every time I remember you, I'm thanking God for you. Every time I'm thinking about you. And Paul is just so excited to cheer these guys on. He's so excited to be in this partnership with them. And he says in verse 4, "In all my prayers for you, for all of you, I pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion of the day of Christ Jesus." Paul is saying that we're partners. Together, we are partnering in something. We're partnering in ministry. So this Philippian church and Paul, even though they are separated by miles, they're still partners. They're partners in a calling of Jesus Christ. They're partners surrounding one thing. It's a mission. The mission of Jesus is to let people know that he's good. To let people know that he loves them so much that he died on the cross for them. And the only way to have life eternally, a life abundantly, is in Jesus and by accepting his gift of salvation. And so when Paul is writing this to these Philippians, these Christians, these people in Philippi, he's writing with joy because of the partnership that he shares with them. He's thinking with all the memories of how they are and what they're about and the joy that he has in them sharing Jesus with others, because there's this partnership in the gospel message. And he says it's not just some time ago, it's from then till now. And then in verse 6 he talks about that he's confident that Jesus, who began this good work in them, he began this good work of bringing them together in the name of Jesus, Jesus is going to carry it on to completion until the end. Jesus is working in them. And Paul is confident. He is so sure that what Jesus started, he's going to keep doing. Now, does that mean the Philippians can just sit back and be like, all right, we're good because Jesus got it? Maybe. No, I don't think so. I think it's because they, and sometimes maybe that's what we might think, like, oh, well, Jesus has this, we don't have to really do a whole lot. Well, it's true, we don't have to do a lot, but by living with joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength, we show people that Jesus, because of Jesus, our life is different, and we have this partnership in the gospel and spreading the good news of Jesus, not just now, but throughout the time that we have on this earth, and we don't know how long that is. So, as partners in the gospel, let's be praying for God's will over people. Let's be praying for God's will over one another. If you are in a partnership, then you want what's best for that other side. You know, it's not a competition like, hey, look at me, I've done this, and you guys have done this. I've done more than you. No, it's a partnership. You want what's best. And so the best thing you could want for someone else that you're in partnership is, it's God's best. And God's best is God's will. That doesn't mean everything is going to be rosy. It doesn't mean everything is going to be great. But it is God's will, and it is what's best. So, you know, as we're partnering in the gospel, when we are in mission with others, we partner by praying God's will for them. Not praying my will, not praying your will, but praying what God wants to happen in their life. And when we do this, when we pray together and we pray for each other, for God's will, then that's way better than what my ideas are, your ideas. It's way better than what I want or you want. It's God's will. It's what he wants to happen. But, you know, you might think like, well, why pray God's will since he already knows what's going to happen? What's kind of the point in praying that? Because doesn't God know? So why doesn't he just do what he already knows is going to do? And that, you know, you can kind of get your head spinning that way, I guess. But, you know, prayer isn't about getting God to do what you want. It's not about getting God to do what I want. No, but prayer is about aligning our hearts to what God wants. So we pray not, here, God, do this what I want. Make sure this happens. The answer is probably going to be no a lot of times when we pray like that. But prayer isn't about getting God to do what we want. Prayer is about aligning our hearts to what God wants and what God is going, is what is he doing and how is he working in the world? How is he showing people himself and how can we get in line with that? So let's be praying for God's will for one another. And let's be praying that God would align our hearts to be partners in the gospel, that we can cheer each other on for what's happening in your lives. And we can hear about good things that are happening, and we say, wow, good job. Not, oh, well, I didn't do that, or I wish I did that better. It's a lot, you know, our world is all about comparison, but not in the family of God. We cheer each other on. We get excited because we can be partners in the mission of God. You know, it kind of begs the question, is it really okay to feel this way in a partnership of the gospel? I mean, he's saying some strong language. He's saying that, you know, he's saying he's always praying with joy, and, you know, God is going to do this. God is going to do whatever he wants. And Paul kind of answers himself here in verse 7. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all. Since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. He says that we share this common thing. If you've accepted the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, then we share together that gift. We share together that grace. And so it doesn't matter what our circumstance is. Here, Paul, he's literally in chains in jail. Paul is in a jail writing this. And so he says, no matter if I'm in chains, if I'm locked up, or if I'm out talking to people about Jesus and I'm defending the faith and I'm sharing the gospel with people, no matter what it is, I share this with you. I share this gift that we all have received. If you've trusted Jesus with your life, you have the grace of God. You have his grace. And so we share this, he says. And then he says in verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This longing he talks about, he longs for them. You know, when someone that's dating or engaged or married, they have this longing to be together. And if they're apart for a certain amount of time, the longing kind of intensifies. You know, because there's this bond that they share. You might be able to relate to this. When you're gone from someone, that you long to be with them. Maybe a husband or wife or family member has died. You have an ache because you have a longing that you want to be with them. You want to still share life with them. But they're gone. And so you have this longing. What Paul says about this longing is he has this longing for others. This longing for others that are partnering in the gospel with him. And he even kind of gets a little graphic here. He says the affection of Christ Jesus. Well, that's not graphic. Well, if you look it up, what does this mean? He's actually talking about he longs with his intestines. We usually don't use language like that, longing with our intestines. But it's really this idea that it's inward. His longing, his desire for what these people is so strong, and it's inward. And, you know, often it's translated the tender mercy, you know, this inward affection that someone has. You know, who is at a gut level compassion? Who do you have compassion at a gut level for? You know, how do you have this affection for others in ministry? Is that how we treat each other? That we have this gut level affection, this affection over one another because we are so excited about cheering them on. So if we are in partnership with each other, if we are in mission with each other, let's be praying for God's affection. Let's be praying for God's affection over one another. This affection that comes only from God, that we just have this longing and this desire to cheer them on, to be with them, to not just pray God's will over them, but also be praying God's affection for one another. You know, you're like, well, affection, like, what if I'm not that affectionate? I don't want to be like that. Well, Jesus, his heart is for people. His heart is an affection. The heart of Jesus is a heart of compassion, heart of drawing close to people. And what he wants to draw close to you, and he wants to draw close to others. And he wants us to draw close to each other. And the way we draw close to each other is through Jesus Christ. In partnership with, in the gospel message, and letting and being in partners, we can pray this affection over one another. You know, it's not this comparison. It's not this lording. Hey, I've been a Christian for this many years, or I've done these things, and so look, I'll pray that you guys get better at some things. No, it's not that. It's not this competition. It's not lording over, but it's this covering of blessing and this covering of grace. Let's be praying God's affection. Paul then goes on in verse 9 through 11, and this is, I think this is a kind of the key of this, this section here. And he says this is my prayer. And so, like, okay, he already talked about praying with joy, and he's talking about partnership in the gospel. But now he's like, and he said, you know, it's right for me to feel this way for you. But now he says, this is my prayer for you. Don't you love it when people say, hey, I'm praying for you, but also this is my prayer for you? Whatever circumstance you're going through, maybe you're in a really hard season of your life, and someone sends you a verse, and then they say, hey, I'm praying this for you. It's so encouraging. You know, maybe you're, yeah, it's just a really encouraging thing. And so Paul's not just trying to encourage them, but he's really expressing his heart for these people. And he says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus. And he says, he goes on and says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. He's praying this over people. He's praying this over these Philippians. We don't know how big the church is in Philippi, but he's praying this partnership with them. This partnership that he's had for years. And he prays with thanksgiving, and he's excited for these people, and he's wanting the best for them. He's praying for God's will for them. He's praying with compassion and affection over them. And here we see that he's praying for God's love to fill them. And as partners of the gospel, let's be praying that God's love fills one another. Not just that he has a little bit, that God gives a little bit of love to his people. Not just a little bit more love, but that God's love fills us. And when God's love fills believers, like, I saw someone recently, and they were just, they couldn't stop smiling. They had the joy of the Lord on their face. They just were smiling, and it was almost like a delirious smile, but it's like this affection that they have for Jesus, this love that loves Jesus with their whole body. This love that just like pours out to people and spills out on others. Have you ever been spilled on with something that you didn't really want to get spilled on? Usually that's not a good thing, but being spilled on, somebody is overflowing with love, overflowing with the joy of Jesus, and you're being spilled on, and you're just like, wow, I'm so glad I got to experience that. I'm so glad I got to be in their presence. I'm so glad I get to see Jesus on their face. You know, Jesus told his followers in John 15, he said, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And he says, in John 15, verse 11, he says, I've told you this, and he's saying this to his disciples. He said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants his followers to have complete joy, to have this perfect joy, to have a full joy. He wants you to be filled with joy. Jesus wants you to be filled with joy. So the question is, why aren't we always filled to the top with joy? Why aren't we overflowing all the time with joy, the joy of Jesus? You know, maybe you don't think about it a lot, but where is your joy level? Well, how much joy do you have in your tank? You know, what's your capacity? Because Paul here, he was praying that the Philippians, that their love would be expounding more and more and growing and growing and growing, that their capacity to love and to have joy would just be bursting. Is that you? Is that me? Is my capacity for the love of Jesus just growing and growing and bursting and spilling and overflowing? That other people are like, whoa, what is going on with those guys? Like, I don't understand it. But when people see the joy of Jesus, it's going to be like so different than the world. It is so different than the world. And they're like, how in the world is, what's happening? How are you experiencing this much joy? And especially when bad things are happening around you. How are you experiencing this much joy? Well, we experience this much joy when we partner together in ministry. We partner together to share the gospel. We partner together to show people Jesus. And what Jesus does is he fills us with joy. In verse 11, Paul says that he prays that the fruit that we be filled, or the people would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus. This fruit of righteousness is joy and love. It's this fruit that we talked about, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all those attributes of this joy, all those attributes of this fruit that's coming out and that's overflowing. Paul is praying this over people. This would be a great thing to pray over each other. You know, I think this all boils down to when Jesus' followers partner together, they're filled with joy. Because joy is about what Jesus is filling us with joy. Not just like, hey, I'm just going to be joyful today. That's actually why I didn't want to call this sermon series joyful. I'm not against anything about the word joyful, but joy-filled is way stronger. Because when you're filled with joy, it also means that you're not the one doing it, right? I'm not being filled with joy because I'm trying harder, because I do better things. I'm being filled with joy, and you're being filled with joy because of the partnership that you have in Christ Jesus, and this joy comes in Christ. And Paul says, to the glory and the praise of God, not for his glory, not for their glory, not for our glory, not for my glory, but for Jesus. So we can praise. So when people see the joy of Jesus, they're like, wow, praise God. Praise God. And Paul said he's always praying for joy because of this partnership in verses 4 and 5, of this partnership of the gospel. When we have this partnership, we aren't competitive against each other. We're not comparing each other, but we're being filled with joy and like, hey, encouraging. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? How can I bless you? How can I cheer you on? How can I be praying for God's will? Praying with affection, right? Praying that God's love would fill each other. And when you're doing that, when you're praying for joy, when you're praying that this, not this competition, but this excitement, we're filled with joy, the joy of Jesus. You know, one way we can just work together in partnership is to go places sharing the good news of Jesus together. And this summer, while I was gone, some of you guys went to Camp Amigo in Michigan, to share the gospel and specifically to work on some projects, but working together in partnership with the gospel. And we got this thank you note, and this is from Camp Amigo, and I'll read the part that's by Cheryl Mast. She's the one that was working with you guys the most, or the kind of heading it up. And she said, thanks so much to the 12 of you who recently came and gave generously of your time to help with the and help with tackling lots of projects here at camp. The areas that were weeded look great, or at least they did when she wrote this. Plus, it's nice to drive in the camp and to see the new pickleball courts with straight lines, she says. And we've already had nets added to the courts. Of course, as you drive into camp, the new siding is also evident. We have had some more volunteers coming who have helped with finishing and pulling staples and nails from the park trailer and wrapped up in this genealogy lab, or geology lab. There we go. She says, but thanks for the great strides that you made in these areas. And she said that she is so blessed by all of your work and also the opportunity to get to know you. And she said she'd love for us to come again sometime, and thanks to the congregation for your generous donation to the camp that covered the rest of the cost of the siding project and helped offset other expenses. And she said, you blessed us richly, and God bless you richly. And there's some other words on there too from other people. But when we partner together, you can see the sharing of joy. When we work together in the mission of Jesus Christ, we have this partnership, and there's this joy that overflows. And you could hear it in her thank you letter, this joy that she's experienced because of this partnership we have together. You know, maybe you're not experiencing this joy-filled life because you don't view yourself on mission. Maybe you haven't said, hey, I actually not just a believer in Jesus Christ, if that's what you are, but I'm also on mission. My mission is to show people Jesus. My mission is to point people to Jesus. Maybe we kind of forget that. It's easy to kind of think about our work schedule and our family life and all the things we have going on around us. It's easy to kind of think about all those things without thinking about this mission that we're on. You know, what would it look like if we further partnered in the gospel? Think about the joy that we would experience. And we have lots of joy experience in this. You know, there's different missionaries overseas. The Ward family I can think of, that they are had been in Indonesia. And I'm excited that they're going to actually come get to visit us in a few months. But, you know, we have this joy, this partnership of the gospel with them. You know, and Doug and Lydia going on our bike trip, sharing the love of Jesus with people in a fun way, a practical way. You know, there's all kinds of ways we see it through the gospel echoes. The different people are sharing the love of Jesus. You know, that's what makes the church different. That's what makes the church attractive. Jesus said people are going to know us by the love we have for each other. So, sharing the gospel where you are, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in even just being ready to whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, but being open to having that surrender of God, whatever you want, I want. So we pray God's will for each other. That's why we need each other to be praying for God's will, not just, hey, do this yourself. No, it's this together. You know, this joy that we experience, sometimes we have these excuses like, that's just too hard. How can I go talk to my neighbor? How can I go bring up Jesus in my workplace? I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I'm too tired. I've already done that and it didn't really work. I don't really know what to say or how to start a conversation or how to talk to people. It's just, they'll reject me. It's too embarrassing. Well, all those things are excuses that I've had. They're all excuses that maybe some of you have. But what I want you to do with any of those excuses, or maybe more excuses, for not wanting to partner with the gospel, not wanting to share Jesus with the world, what I want you to do is take those excuses to Jesus. Tell him. Tell him those reasons. Tell him the reasons that you don't want to do this. Tell him the reasons that you can't do it, or that you've tried to do it, or that it doesn't work with the amount of money or time you have. Just tell him. But don't just tell him. Listen to his response. Remember, prayer isn't about telling God what we want. It's about having our hearts lined up for what He's doing and what He wants. In Hebrews, it talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter and pioneer of our faith. And it says, "For the joy set before Him," and it's Jesus, "He endured the cross and scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus knows that the only way that we're going to have a full tank of joy and love is by keeping our eyes on Him. It's not about trying harder. It's not about doing more. It's about keeping our eyes on Him and being filled with His joy. And remember what He did for us and what He is doing. It's not just some time in the past, but what He's doing every day. And Jesus, He is working in your lives. Maybe it's hard to see that sometimes. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus. Maybe that's something that's missing, is that I've never fully accepted the grace of Jesus. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He doesn't want you to be in opposition to Him. He wants you to be in relationship with you. He wants you to be filled with joy. You know, this week is a challenge. I have on the back of the sermon notes this verse, the scripture from the Philippians 1, 9 to 11, this prayer that Paul prayed over the Philippians. And my challenge to each of us is to find, pray about who, maybe you don't even have to think so hard, but just start writing down some people that you're going to pray for this week. Pray specifically these words, that you would pray that their love would abound more and more in the knowledge and depth and insight, so that they may be able to discern what is best and pure and blameless. They would be blameless for the day of Jesus and being filled with this righteousness that comes through Jesus. And I would just encourage you to be praying every day for someone, or maybe different people each day. You can write them down here and then keep this in your Bible, or keep this on your fridge or somewhere you'll see it. But it's a challenge, because when you do that, you're going to be more and more joy-filled. And they're going to be more and more joy-filled because they're in partnership with each other for the good news of Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we thank You for Your gospel. We thank You for Your good news of salvation. We thank You that You are a God that loves. You loves us so much that You died a sinner's death on the cross, Jesus. We thank You for Your sacrifice for us. We thank You for the grace that You've given to us, even when we do not deserve and there's nothing we can do to earn Your grace. Jesus, we thank You for this grace and this peace that You give. God, we pray that we would be filled with Your joy. Jesus, I pray for those that maybe their joy level or their joy tank is not full, it's not on a good capacity, maybe it's a little low. Lord, I pray that this week that we would be praying for others in this partnership of the gospel, and that Your joy would be filling us. Lord, we pray that we would be people that are seen as joyful. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what's going on, that we would have Your joy that is evident and showing. That people would see how joyful we are and how much love we have for each other. That they would look to Jesus. And they would ask us for the hope that we have. And Jesus, we just pray this would be for Your glory and for Your praise. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Well, before you stand, we're going to sing There Is One Gospel. And I want to just call your attention to verse 4. It says, "And in this gospel, the church is one. We do not walk," when your Bible's, or it's on the screen for you. I think it's going to be verses 9 through 11. Oh, it's a different slide. Okay, so back before that one. Oh, sorry. There we go. Thank you. And this is my prayer. So you can take the moment. I'm just going to be playing some background music, and you just be praying out loud with the person next to you. Pray those verses over them right now. And then we'll get to singing. And will you stand with us as we sing There Is One Gospel? Sorry, that wasn't